Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. It's kind of been a minute, it feels like, since we've done an episode or just talked, I guess, but I'm excited. I feel like today, sorry, I'm a little sick. Oops. I feel like today, I don't know, I'm feeling a little tired and sleepy, if I want to be honest, but I also feel excited because I feel like what we're talking about today is something that I feel like I've just been struggling a lot with recently, and it's definitely something close to my heart, and I feel like me and Jerrica and Katie have just always said, like, the purpose of our podcast is to just reach one person, like, and it could be one of us, too, like, that's mm-hmm. the thing, like, and I really feel like this is for me if it's not for any of you, and obviously, I believe in, like, a really big God, so I know that he has more than just, like, one, I don't know. He can reach so many people, but if it's just for one, I feel like it's for me. And pretty much, I just feel like what we're going to talk about today is just burnout. Spiritual mm-hmm. burnout, school burnout, friendship burnout, and, like, and feel like I don't even have all the answers at all. And I can just, like, talk about my personal story. I feel like I go through a little bit of a phase or phases of, I would say, ever since my freshman year of college, my daily devotions haven't necessarily been, like, completely consistent. They'll be consistent for a little bit, and then they won't be. And it kind of just goes up and down and up and down. And I feel like that's, like, realistic, but I think sometimes I get stuck in a trap of, like, guilt and shame when something bad happens in my life or something that I'm struggling with. And then my first reaction is to go to God. But then part of me is, like, feels guilty because I'm like, oh, wow, like, my relationship with God is really just dependent on my need for him. Like, my selfish need of, like, wanting to get through this as fast as I can. So let me just call on God real fast to get me out of this. And so I feel guilty to pray to him about something hard in my life. But then I feel guilty not to, because then I'm just like, oh, am I just trying to get through this without God? And so just figuring out, like, how to tap back in when you feel like you have the wrong motives, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's kind of where I'm coming from today. So, yeah, do you guys have any thoughts on anything that comes to your mind on burnout, whether that's spiritual, relationship, school? So it's kind of broad, I know.
Oh, well, it is such a fitting season or a fitting topic for this season because we're approaching finals week. I'm still figuring out my summer plan. So it's just when Katie got here, she was like, how are you? And I was like, my weeks have been so busy and they're just getting get busier. Like, I don't see, you know, of course there's an end in sight, but right now it just feels so overwhelming. And what was really cool was yesterday in my intercultural communications class, which highly recommend if you're at Southern, you should take it. It's awesome. But my class is, it consists of like 13 people and it's literally like a group therapy session. And I can't tell you how many times I walked into that class and I just left feeling so blessed and refreshed after such a long day, because Tuesdays and Thursdays are my long days. Like, I, like, me and Maggie, we have class in the morning and then we have another class in the afternoon in the same exact room, and it's like an hour and a half long, and it's hard to sit through, like, so it's my long days. Anyways, I walked into class yesterday and one of my friends was doing the worship and she was talking about how, about control and, you know, just letting go. And it was such a good reminder because literally like 2 minutes before she started talking, I was telling two of my other friends like how I was stressed about my practicum and how I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I have so much to do. I just feel very overwhelmed. And that whole day, I think I was just so overwhelmed. Like, I couldn't focus on one thing. Like, I just, you know, when you're so stressed, it just like sits, that's, it consumes your mind, even though you wish upon a star that it wasn't, like, you have other stuff to do. And she just started talking about, you know, letting go and letting God, essentially. Like, you don't need to be in control. It was such a good reminder. And then we had such a nice, like, beautiful and emotional conversation between everyone, like, just talking about what they're going through and how this class is a safe haven. And that's just kind of like a, I don't know, a little side note. But when Maggie, you were talking about like your need, you know, I only come to him because I feel like I need him. It reminded me of the song, the hymn, like I need thee every hour. And it's like, I think sometimes we recognize our need and other times we don't recognize our need. And I think that's like when life is hard and we're like, shoot, you know, I really haven't been diligent in communing with God. Like, I feel like my spiritual life is just such an up and down hill battle. And then the times that, you know, in reality, we need him all the time, whether we realize it or not. And I think that's where the guilt comes in, is like when you actually recognize it, you're like, shoot, why haven't I been recognizing this all along? And no, I struggle with that all the time. Like, I'd say right now I'm kind of in a lull. You know, like life gets pretty good and you're like, okay. And so then your devotions start to slip off the radar. And there are little pockets of like blessings that happen throughout my week, and going to church, even listening to Pastor Dave, is a huge blessing. But consistency wise, like, I don't think that I'm maybe doing my most, like the most right now. But yeah, I feel burned out. That's my whole thing. I'm so burned out right now.
Moral of the story. I feel burned out.
Literally, I had a dream about it last night, guys. I literally had a dream about us doing our podcast and me telling the girls, oh yes, burnout, that's such a good topic. And I was dreaming about that. So anyways. Yeah.
Well, I just think it's so comical that we all walked into today and like Maggie and I are so congested right now, which is like the worst for a podcast. And we are, yeah, exactly in the middle of, I just feel like yesterday I hit the wall, and I I was talking to my mom, I was talking to my counselor, I was talking to people about how I have this spiritual gift of doing too much. That's sarcasm. It's not a spiritual gift.
Your heart's in the right place.
Yeah. Right. No, but I walked into my counseling appointment and I was just like, I am so overwhelmed. Like, I don't know why, but I feel stuck in the fact that I have so much to do that I can't get any of it done. And she had me like, because I'm a very visual person, she is too, and she had me like get a piece of paper and she said, Katie, I just want you to recognize like everybody's juggling a lot of things, right? And she was like, I want you to visually just draw out everything that's taking mental capacity for you or energy, and like things that you have to do and are responsible for or is taking energy, like draw on the paper, draw a circle around it, like to basically represent all of the balls that you're juggling. And I spent like 15 minutes and 17 circles later, like the paper was just so full. And she said, so Katie, she was like, do we see why we're a little stressed? She was like, it's valid. How about giving yourself some grace? Mm. And I think for me, I think that's the first step of burnout, is giving yourself grace and allowing Jesus to give you grace. And it's the step that I always skip over. Mm. It's like, I always jump to the either A, guilt, or B, like, I got to fix this. How do I get out of this? And I just think that for me, having that moment of, wait, let's go back to step one of burnout and just recognize the fact that, like, yes, it's valid. You're burned out for a reason. It's probably because you're juggling 17 different major things. And like, that's okay to recognize that you're exhausted, because anyone would be exhausted doing the things that you do, you know? And I feel like we skip over the part of give yourself grace.
Yeah.
And for me, having that moment where she was just like, Katie, how about give yourself some grace? Do you see why you're burned out?
Like, no doubt.
And I was like, oh, it seems so simple, but I hadn't like thought of it at all. It was just this like frustration of, why am I burned out? Why am I struggling? Why am I feeling so overwhelmed right now? And I think I can just imagine Jesus wanting to tell me in that moment too, of just like, Katie, it's okay to breathe. It's okay to be burned out. Like,
Jesus took time off too. And I think that's what's been hitting me lately is like the need for margin in my life, like white space, you know, mm-hmm. like if you look at a book and you see how there's like words on it, there's nothing in the margins because your eyes would be too overwhelmed if the entire page was filled with words and you wouldn't have the ability to like turn the page at all, you know? And so you end up being stuck in your season of overwhelmingness because your eyes can't focus. There's so much going on and you can't turn the page because there's no space to, you know, use the margin to turn the page. And so I just think that recently I've had the realization of there is no margin in my life, which doesn't allow God any space to like edit anything or put notes on my life, you know, because I've filled it so full of stuff that there's no space for God to come in and, you know, like a teacher who's giving you, you know, points on your essay. Like there's no room for the editor in my life anymore.
Yeah.
And it just feels like I'm so overwhelmed and stuck on one page. So anyway, that is all to say that yes, I have felt burnout like crazy lately.
Yeah.
And I think it's been in a lot of areas of my life, definitely relate to the spiritual burnout of like more than going to God when I need him. It's almost a form of going to God when I'm about to be poured out of, if that makes sense. Like I am involved in a lot of leadership positions and in a lot of things that take like spiritual energy. And I think I find myself going to God only for like the energy that I need, but only enough so that it fills enough to be able to be poured out again, not necessarily enough to be overflowing.
Mm.
And I think it's because I don't have enough time to sit under the flow of the Holy Spirit for long enough to where it's overflowing. You know, it's almost just this like quick fill it up, okay, pour it out. Quick fill it up, pour it out. And I think God is just wanting me to be like, hey, I want you to come to me for more than that. And I think it's the reality of, okay, I have to start cutting things out that aren't necessary. And I think there's a really false narrative that we're told, especially in college, and especially if you were raised in a like high performance Christian environment, where like for me in high school, we did everything because there were not enough kids for you to only have one thing you were good at. You had to play every sport. You had to play every instrument. You had to be in choir and band because the only way for the school to survive is if everyone did everything, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think I've carried that mindset into college where again, I'm going to a high performance private, you know, university where like all your friends are pre-med and they're involved in all of these extracurricular activities plus sports plus all of these things. And
it's insane to me.
Yes. It's this false narrative of like, you have to be involved in everything. And I have latched on to that, I think, in a really unhealthy way where I have realized recently, like, it's okay. If I don't cut things out right now, then I will completely collapse and not survive. Like,
You're spreading yourself out way too thin.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so like yesterday I made some texts and phone calls and was just like, hey, I can't do this today. So sorry, needing some space. And like, it's really difficult to get to that place and make that decision. Mm-hmm. But the freedom and the feeling of like breath in your lungs when you slowly start to create that margin in your life is like so beautiful feeling. Like it's so
everything has incredible color again.
yes like everything starts to come into focus again too.
Yeah.
And you can actually focus on what's on the page. So
yeah. And it kind of like what you literally just said, and I thought about it like as you were talking, is like we believe this misconception that we have to give 100% all the time.
Yeah.
And if we're not, somehow we're in the wrong. And and I like just totally agree. And also Jericho, like what you said about like, so it's like dependent on like when we recognize the need or not. And
that was powerful.
Really good. And it reminds me of the song by Mosaic, and it's called, I think it's called Everything at Your Feet. And one of the lyrics is like, I've come to the end of myself and I need you and nothing else. And
ooh,
I think it's like when we come to our end, our own like capability, like our own might and our own power, like that's when we realize, wow, like there's not enough in me.
Mm. What was that quote at church that was like, when the caterpillar sees an end, God sees a butterfly?
Yes. Yeah.
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 You know, yeah. Like when you think that your life has come to an end,
right?
God's like, little do you know,
it's like
you're about to fly for the first time.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just like, and I was like, wait, like as you guys were talking, I just feel so poured into, and I just feel like that's the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And like, maybe it's not necessarily about like focusing on, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been so inconsistent recently in my devotions or in my spiritual walk, but just refocusing and just being like, you know what? Like, yes, but I'm going to like move forward in this and recognize my need. And it reminded me of the verse, like rather than like feeling guilty of a need. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no, recognize it. You do need God. You
and
know
that's
what I'm
actually
saying?
A good thing.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a good thing. And like God wants you to come to him. And it reminded me of the verse in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Say less. And the first one is this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I've heard it one time. I don't know who said it, but someone was like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the spiritually poor, you know? And I think it's like, we need to recognize that our dependence on God. And I was like, wow, why am I feeling guilty on something about something that like God has made me to do, like be dependent on him, you know? And I think like God knows that you're not going to be consistent 100% of the time. And that's why he is. And like going back to like Pastor Dave's sermons, one of them spoke to me so much recently. He was talking about Abraham and when God asked him to sacrifice his son. And at the time, that was like the thing to do. Like the culture was like everyone around them would sacrifice their son to their God to show their God that their they devotion. Loved them that much, their devotion. And he was like, people like get kind of stuck on why God would ask Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Pastor Dave was just like, I don't think it was for God a matter of if. He's like, he knew Abraham would because of the culture, but he wanted to show Abraham he didn't even have to. Like God would provide again and again. Like he didn't even have, and it kind of just reminded me of like, we kind of think we have to work our way to God. We need to show up for God. We need to show God, oh, this is how much I love you, God. But I think God's just like, you don't even have to do that for me. Yeah. Like, I will provide for you. Like, you don't,
he comes down and meets us where
we're
at. Okay, three things. So, sorry, when you were talking, so first of all, I just want to say that guilt and shame are not from God. It's from the devil. And I think like when we, myself included, when we feel those feelings of guilt and shame, like, shoot, I should have done better. Shoot, I'm, you know, being inconsistent or whatever, but that should not be our focus. Like, we get in this negative mindset where it transitions to all about us. And it's like when we're relying on our 100% own strength, like us, that is so like dangerous. And then that, like, you're talking about dependency, like we're meant to be dependent on God. And like part of, well, dependence and independence, I think, because I'm a very independent person, but I still rely on my parents for certain things. I rely on my friends. But once I'm back at my baseline, like, I can be on my own feet. And I think that's where God walks with us, right? We are like, we lean on him. He comes down and meets us where we are when we physically can't. Or, but then, like, we have the strength and we continue forward. So like he's walking with us. And then, oh, when I fall again, boom, he's right there. And I think that's just such a beautiful thing. And it's not talked about enough, especially in schools and in like, if you go to a traditional church, you know what I'm talking about. That sense of guilt and shame is just such a weapon in fear. Mm-hmm. And it's used to like manipulate the way that you feel about yourself and the way that you feel about God and others. And then the third thing is like, God will provide. And that's literally what my name means. Cause my name came from that story.
So cool.
Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh after they went down the mountain, and my name is like Jaira.
What a cool connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like throughout my whole life, my parents have reminded me like God will provide, but I've never really thought of it as, oh man, he comes down and meets me here, you know, because I'm always under this, like, well, when I was younger, like I have to, you know, do certain things, or I have to think a certain way or feel a certain way so that I can like maybe be on a stool to maybe help God out and like my connection. But that's not at all what it is, because he realizes that we literally cannot do that. Like, because of sin, we are unable to try and like, you know, soar through the heavens. So I don't know. Those are just my three thoughts. But yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. The phrase that came to my mind was, the devil really wants you to focus on your inconsistency because he knows it will make you lose sight of his, Jesus's consistency.
Yeah.
And so it's like, even if it feels, you know, like, oh, this is what I should be focusing on, or you, it's, it doesn't feel like you're being selfish or looking at just yourself, but you are in a way when you're focusing on all of your shortcomings, you lose sight of how much God is willing to step in for you. And we always have the saying with like my worship leaders of, the more gaps, the more God can fill in. And I think it's true. Like, if you never give God the space to show up for you, if you're trying to have everything covered and do it all on your own, then there aren't any gaps in your life for him to fill in, you know? And it's almost really a blessing when there are, because then you get to celebrate like, hey, yes, I know that this part of my life or this thing that I do, there's no way I have what it takes to accomplish this or to be able to come through for this. And God just says, that's great. That means I get to come in and saturate your life and fill in that gap for you.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that then it gives us the ability to rejoice in the gaps in our life because it means that God will show up for those gaps.
Well, it's like, you know, when Peter was walking on the water, like he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. And like, it wasn't that God had abandoned him, because Jesus was right there calling to him. And like, he calls to us. So there is definitely like, I feel like also, side note, that story has slightly been weaponized a little bit, but, I just think that's like so beautiful. And then Katie, what you were saying about just sitting and realizing that like you can just be.
Yeah.
Reminded me of when Jonah, like, he was, like, so angry, you know, he got swallowed by a freaking fish.
Yeah.
And then, like, spit up and, like, was told to go minister to this wicked, wicked city that he felt like no one would care, but they actually did. And then God, like, built up a plant, and he just sat there, and then God took it away. And I don't know, like, it's such an interesting, like, it's so easy to, you know, slip out and to think about yourself, slip out of that, like, oh, my focus is not on God. But Maggie, do you have a song?
Oh, sorry. There's like something in my ear. There's like a buzzing in my ear. I zoned out for a second because I was like looking at the lyrics.
You knew she had lyrics to a song.
Sorry.
No.
She gave us, you were just like, okay, like Peter took us off. His eyes off of God. And it just reminded me of, like, you know, the verse in the Bible that talks about, like, I stand at the door and I knock. And I think sometimes we get kind of confused on, like, what our job is.
Yeah.
You know? Literally, it's an open, just the, like, open that door, open, say it. Yes, that's it. You know? And I think sometimes it's definitely confusing of, like, you're right, just, like, living in a Christian culture and atmosphere and going to Southern and, like, all the things happening and feeling like you have to pour yourself in to so many different outlets, and we kind of just lose sight and then get caught up and get just burnt out, you know, when like it's as simple as just saying yes and opening the door to God and just like sitting with him, you know,
and recognizing that saying yes to God often calls for saying no to other things.
Yes.
Like
yes,
you're not magically going to have giant margins in your life it's okay to say yes to God and for that to mean saying no to other things, yeah. even if those other things are good.
Anyways, so I was just like, this is so interesting that, so a conversation I had with a friend was we were just talking about mental health, and this is going to, okay, it's all going to come together, I promise.
No, we try.
But just give me a second. So we were talking about mental health the other day, and I struggle with anxiety sometimes and stress and all the things it feels like. And there's definitely been moments in my life that are a lot lower. Thankfully, praise God, I feel like this semester has been a lot better. But I think sometimes what we forget is that our brains, they were made to think. Like, they are an organ. They have a job. So not everything you think is of you, you know, is yeah. like of your character.
Or truth.
Or truth, yeah. right? And so, yeah. like, a lot of the times we believe a lie that if it's in my brain, it must be true, you know? And that's not true, like, at all. And I even told her, I was like, your brain, what it thinks about are the things that are in your environment, the things that are in your surrounding, the music you're listening to, the things that you watch. And I was like, so hypothetically, let's take someone who is, like, addicted to pornography, right? Of course, that's what they're going to be thinking about if that's what they're pouring their time into.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's why it's such a, we have to be so picky with like what we're putting in our path, because your brain on its own free time and doing its job is going to shuffle through everything that you've like experienced throughout the day, if that made sense.
Yeah.
You know? And so like for me, there's definitely been times where I've like watched TV shows that are like scary, and then all of a sudden I'm like thinking about
Criminal Minds.
Like, I'm thinking about, you know, and you just have these thoughts and you're like, well, why am I thinking this? You know what I mean? And it just like reminded me just of, I just really felt like God told me recently, he was like, Maggie, if you want to overcome this in situation in your life, he's like, you need to start listening to Christian music. He's like, you need to stop listening to secular music. And he's like, you need to start listening to Christian music.
So no more Lainey?
Man. Oh, shoot.
Less Lainey. Less Lainey. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. It was constant for a really long time.
Just because, like, it puts your mind at a place of, like, rather than, like, what you're going through, it's, like, who God is and what he's doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, like, as simple as like what you're surrounding yourself with is like what's gonna kind of be in your mind a little bit. And it's kind of crazy because I like started listening to Christian music more recently, and this is like one of the songs I have. This like Jerica sent it to me, actually. It's like this playlist, and it has like a lot of really good Christian songs that I've never heard, and they're like always adding new ones, and the lyrics bring me back to what we were just talking about. And it's like, here we go. I don't even know the like tune of the song, because I haven't listened to it that much. I just remember thinking, wow, these lyrics are literally what I'm going through, and I didn't even realize it when I was listening to the song, you know what I mean? And it goes like this: I turn around and you're right there. To my surprise, you're right where I left you. I only found love in your eyes. There's no need for reintroductions. Even in my distance, you never stopped pursuing me. With your arms wide open, you've only ever welcomed me. You take me all the way back to the start of covenant when you had my first yes.
Ugh.
And I just think it's like God is literally where he has always been.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. like it's in our distance.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He doesn't. You're so right, Jerica. Like he doesn't guilt you for walking away. He just welcomes you back. It's literally as simple as the prodigal son, you know what I mean? The father like was so excited to see him return. So I think just sometimes, and like you're right, in our sin and our shame and our guilt, like we kind of prevent ourselves from just coming back. Just go back, you know? Just say that first prayer. Just like have that conversation with a friend. Listen to the Christian music. Like anything that brings you back to God, God's not gonna be like, oh my gosh, why didn't you come back to me sooner?
You were late.
Yeah, you're late.
Absence.
Yeah.
You fail. No, I was like, just a practical application, because I kind of like learned that slowly over time, like a couple of years ago, just the feeling, like dealing with guilt. And there are times in church or at Vespers where I do not stand up to sing. And I feel so, like, I used to feel so guilty because everyone else is standing up. Everyone's, like, looking at me, you know. But there are some times that I just can't. I just have to sit. And, like, I've had to tell myself that that does not, like, what people think of me does not reflect my cord with God, right? Like, the connection. And I heard this girl talking once, and she was saying, like, you know, when you pray at night or when you are in a position where you're communing with God and you fall asleep, she's like, don't feel bad. Like, you know, you're resting in your Father's arms. And I was like, wow, that's so true. Like, God does not, I don't think in those situations he's going to be like, oh, you're exhausted. Well, I need at least 45 minutes. I need 45 minutes and you have to stay up and, like, torture yourself even though I know your heart's not in it, you know? So it's like sometimes falling asleep while talking to him is so just nice. You're just resting. You're like, I'm here. This is all I can do. But, no, I love that song, Maggie. Yeah. It's, like, it's so beautiful. It just reminds us. Yeah.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, I think we are coming up on our time for the podcast. But I was just thinking, as we end this, maybe we could talk about some practical, like, applications of how to start to come back from a place of burnout, whether that's spiritually or socially or academically. I don't know. For me, I think some of the practical things that have helped me start to come back from a place of burnout is, one, like we talked about, just giving yourself grace. Like, you don't have to feel guilty for falling asleep in the arms of the Father.
Yeah, it doesn't define you.
Yes, and if you're burned out, it's probably because there's a reason. And yeah, that's okay, you know, to be able to just say, yeah, if you're feeling burnt out, let Jesus' example of grace be the way that you treat yourself. Like, have grace for those overwhelming moments. And then I think for me this week, it's just been, don't be afraid to create some white space in your life for God to speak into. I was reading through Mark this week and just watching God's example of crazy high adrenaline, thousands of people, miracles happening, and then the way that he would just step away. Mm-hmm. I think the power of stepping away for a moment, not forever, but if there's something that you're really burnt out with, or if you're really exhausted, step away with Jesus for a minute. And I know for me that starts to bring my heart back to life after burnout. So I don't know. I think those are, like, the two practical things that I've learned so far, at least that I'm trying to do. I don't know. Do you guys have any, like, practical things that you can take away from?
I was just gonna, like, go off what you're saying of, like, give yourself grace. In one of me and Jerica's classes, we talked about emotions and, like, how there's positive and negative emotions that, like, we kind of associate in our brain, and we're always, like, there's a push, I feel like, in culture and just society to, like, oh, be happy, like, do what makes you happy, like, have joy, you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
constantly pursuing those, like feel good emotions, when in reality a lot of us are sad and, like, you know, are overwhelmed or, yeah, like, have a lot of stuff going on. And, like, what you said, give yourself grace for the times when you feel, yep, the burnt out, because I think it's in sitting in those emotions of just saying, like, oh, this sucks right now and that's okay, like, that's where the pieces are kind of, like, put back together, and you do have the appreciation for the really good moments because you're able to recognize the hard ones as well.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so powerful.
I think for me, when I'm super burnt out, like right now, I find time to do something like that kind of just takes my mind off of stuff, but is also very, like, healthy. So a lot of people go to exercise. My version of exercise is tennis. If you know me, I've been into that lately. But I also think that it's important to, like, on your notes app or in a journal, just write down at least three things that you're grateful for every single day. Because even though that doesn't directly take the strain off of, you know, your homework or, you know, having money problems or, you know, whatnot, I think it redirects your focus to something higher. Mm. And I think gratitude is one of the best gifts that God has ever given us, you know, because like I used to do that. Like, I mean, I still do that sometimes, but when I was doing it consistently, even though I was so, so like burnt out and stressed and just sad, it felt so like there was a difference in my life. So I'd just say like, go out and maybe, go walk for 20 minutes, go play tennis, or, you know, write down things you're grateful for. And yeah, those are my practical tips, guys. Yeah. So thanks for being with us today. Like Maggie said, it's been a moment, but we just love coming together and including you into our conversations. And we just pray that you have a blessed week and you may like take some really good tips from this podcast. And anyways, thanks for being with us. We love you so much. Bye.